This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
If we look at the details of what they consist of, Novin hatev ech kulam tluyim b'shoyosh hazeh shal shtei midas el shazacharnu. Ki kol echad mem nidem chol inyonav av himikoyroi, v'yizet tamas chol inyonav ma'elu. In other words, this idea of ha'ara and hesta also goes far in explaining the details of the guf and the shama in themselves. Yes. It's not midos, they're descriptions. Because Shabbat is showing Ha'or and Hester through these. Not only did the guf come about through Hesterponim, the inyan of guf and chayma, but it itself somehow shows it, reflects it. A person in his very own body demonstrates these inyanim of lakus, midas, and so on, and this is one of them. Vitiri, she'ein metzias haguf ela choshuch. The metzias haguf is choshuch. Kafilu she'gil lezakus ayisa gol shoshem otzavoy al kol paran tzor she'ibodol min aneshama. Ve'ine nilu efer ze shaneshama hu etzem nichbod meir ubar arsa yisbarach v'aguf eina kein al dom etzatmen choshuch ubar arsa tepan yisbarach. Let's elishipo by zichocha demokra chuchal agia v'at kse achen she'hefesh mat b'neim aneshama. Let's talk a little bit about what that means. What do we mean to say the guf is a mokum choshuch, and even with all the zichuch, it doesn't become less choshuch, and so on? Let's think the following. A person is sitting down. He's tired, or he's just, you know, inertia. Now, somebody comes up, and somebody knocks on the door, he needs something, or he wants something, or he texts. I'm sorry that I sort of date myself. They used to have doors, they used to knock. Now, the body's reaction is, I'm tired, leave me alone. When a person is craving for something, food, woman, the physical sense of it is the sense of the physical. And that's it. Everything else is an imposition from the outside. There is never a matzah. In other words, the body itself has no sense of alikus in it. It's something that the body will always remain devoid of sensing anything other than physical craving. And as far as
it feels concerned, to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as it's concerned, anything else is it, now it can impose it. You can also, it's sort of when we train ourselves, so when we see somebody else needs something, we sort of immediately impose the neshama on the guf, or ashamed of the guf, but at the end of the day, the guf is, it's feelings. I always said, you know, when you see Tzvi over there digging into the cream cake, you know, if you ever see Tzvi Malin, if you ever see him, so, you know, he dives head first into whenever there's anything creamy, he goes crazy, and he with his hand. We're like that, that's him also. It's just that we have a layer of spasnished. Like, it's not that he's a Baal Taiva and we're not. We're just as much Baal Taiva. But we also have a layer of social sense where, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, what are people going to think of me? And that's very deep, and we've, you know, it's been conditioned enough. But it's not as if the goof, the etzem, doesn't, you know, stays away from something that is, you know, that is not good.
Let's say you have, you heard this story, you have two shirts today.
What?
So you have two shopping shirts, the same exact shirts, but one is $100 and one is $15. And then you go chuka for that $100 shirt, and that's because physically it's the same thing.
So correct. So there's an emotional. So good. There's an emotional layer, but that's devoid of a likus. I don't. You know, my body is always hungry. My body is always this. The Chazon Ish said about himself. I think Chazon Ish worked right out that he never has an appetite to eat. It just he feels either weaker or stronger, but he doesn't have a real appetite to eat. You know, like there's no mishicha to food, but it's not something that the body will not have the sense, emotions, and feelings of an neshama. It's something that, as far as it's concerned, all that exists is physical.
So is it in the world of the Chazon Ish, or in the world of Nati, after he continues to learn Das Tunis for a bit, there would be absolutely no nafkamina what he's eating. Or assuming that the food would give him nutrition, then it could be anything.
Exactly.
Also the same thing, like it would make no difference what the shirt is. It's just
right. I mean, when you're in a hospital and you're getting an IV, it really makes no difference what's going in. You know, like it's a very, very mechanical decision. Would you like today more sucrose or more this or more that? You know, it is no sense of it. But physically, there's a story. Eliyahu Kiko, who wrote Sefer Toda'ah, was a remarkable writer, and a very deep, thoughtful person, an amazing person. He wrote a Sefer called Chassidim Anshei Maisa. Chassidish story is told by somebody with depth and understanding. So he has a lot of stories. Some of them were known, but the point of the story are certain understandings of things. They're amazingly good. It's written in very rich Hebrew, beautiful Hebrew. I don't know, you know, it's not that accessible. It's mamish beautiful. So he wrote about Rav Michal Zlotsheva. Rav Michal Zlotsheva was known to be the big Kaddish, Ketusha El Yoyna. So he said, in a village, whatever, Zlotsheva or Ner Zlotsheva, Gubernia Zlotsheva, I don't know which village it was, there lived the wife of a nobleman who was extremely ugly. And it really was very hard to find anyone as ugly as her, and so on and so on and so forth. Really describes, you know, how most and ugly and this and that. And then he says, funny, the goyim said that she's very pretty. Very, very different taste we have than they have. The point was, she was a very attractive woman. She tried her best to be machshel. She heard of Michal Zlotsheva and was a Kaddish. So she did her best to try to be machshel him. And, you know, like she barged into his room, and as soon as he turned his eyes away, she stood in front of him, like she tried very hard. The end was that Rav Michal started thinking about this woman was fed on chaza meat, on nevelos and treifis, on you know, donkey milk. Kind of, like he went through what, you know, urchas chasavolas, and he threw up all over her, like he was so nauseated by the idea. That's how he protected himself. And he writes at the end, you know, that he reacted that way is pashut. What schus she had that he should on her, that no one knows. But the first few stanzas, I was very, very, you know, like he describes a very ugly woman as that, and then he says, funny that we see it different. I see it. You know,
wow.
If you take a look at, you know, when you get older and you take a look at a picture of a quote-unquote celeb, can you say to yourself, this is a pushta kli of selfishness? I mean, you know, they're just... I mean, at some point you really begin to say, to look at it and say, fat. But like, ugh, you know, it's like, call me the raw. You know, there's no, you know, at some point, so when somebody is younger and he's excited, so he doesn't bother to look at that. When somebody's older, it's a question. The goof, so at some point, there is a certain sense, maybe we're more dominated by the neshama, but the goof itself is always taken by taiva and not really sensing kedusha. So a goof is the way a goof senses the world. There is no sense like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The way a neshama senses the world, it's kulay Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So he says, v'tiri oid shaguf hinei yesh bechiluk evam chalokim. kol achas tashmisha. The body has separate organs. Ayin roya v'shemasa yisrasa roya mashayka nishama. Shekol ha-koychas yishpa. Aboloi chiluk evorim alok evori aguf elokula b'chol chelek. Ezei yedua. So there is something that the body is chaymer, which comes of different pieces together. The neshama is one. I want to stop a second. That itself is a remarkable. That within itself is a remarkable reflection of a difference. In other words, we as a guf can only think of things as pieces, cause and effect. A leads to B, B leads to C. A neshama works all-encompassing. You know, it's all put together. It's a very, very different type of interaction.
But aren't there evarim to the neshama? Like, in other words, we say that all the mitzvahs, in other words, isn't there a level of neshama or something that is like a spiritualized group of evarim?
So the answer is... there are degrees. In other words, the neshama comes in five dargas. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. So the different dargas of it. And, you know, each darga is different.
But don't we also say that different kofos and nefesh or different kofos and rukhnias correspond to the right arm or the left arm or the leg or the torso?
So that's a darga rukhni where you could... Lamosha, let's give an example. In Taryag mitzvahs, there were two tkufas. There was one tkufa when Taryag mitzvahs was two mitzvahs, la'avdo l'shamra, mikol ha'etz ha'shmegan teichal, me'etz ha'das teivra lo sochal. That included all Taryag mitzvahs. We didn't handle that well, so we needed to split it up into Taryag.
Was that a function of the goof's needs? In other words,
it was a lower. It was a lowering down of, you know, it's like Lamashal. Sometimes you meet a big person, Adam Chashev, and he seems like all the milas and midas tovas seem to come together. You have a kid who's born like a naturally good kid, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. It all comes as a package. It's like he's learning and he's davening and he cares. And that. The other kid who really is not like that, you have to go step by step. You say, okay, let's work first on your learning. Then we'll work on your davening. Then we'll work on your pass. Then we'll work on this. It's just the nature of it that it's a step by step thing.
So the way in which we describe these different evarim is a part of a program that we would have to apply as people that live in bodies that are broken up. In other words, in as much as we live in bodies that are broken up by parts,
yeah,
and we need to be able to think about, we need to think about our growth and ruchnius in parts, and in that sense, we're able to use these mental models.
Right.
But it's only a function of being a good. Is that
correct? And it's a continuum. At some level, we can abstract a little more, because abstract still more. In other words, from thinking about parts and pieces to seeing it as one whole. There are dargis. You know, sometimes you have to be very mechanical. It's like a kid. When you're teaching him step by step, every step is stands on its own. We don't even see the connection. And then we have a more sweeping view of a bigger view of things. That's kolol a lot more.
And going back to that example of the really ugly woman, you know.
I see you got something about this, yeah.
It's fascinating to me. So if the perspective of a person is skin deep, so then there's
yes.
One, is that right? But when the perspective is more holistic, you can describe how ugly she is in so many ways. The selfishness and the type.
I want to bring that point out more sharply. Yes, there's one person that the only thing will say, I couldn't care less what she is. She's a 10, and this is my life's dreams. This is what I want. That's, you know, that's one thing. There's another person will say, you know, she's very, very attractive, but she's got her concerns. But another person will say, she's a turnoff. I mean, nothing but a selfish brat. And you won't even be able to see. It's the content of the person will project most. And the whole person is, you look at the person is, I don't even mean pretty, the person is a turnoff. At some point, if your sensitivities are right, then what you perceive is a total turnoff.
It's almost like somebody who hasn't showered in a month,
exactly.
And they spray some cologne.
Right, exactly.
The cologne becomes a
right.
Disgusting thing. Like
right.
Is it fair to say, like, in the modern world, I guess, like a liberal, that someone who could be, like, the best actor, the best whatever it is, but as soon as they're, like, a Trump supporter, then, like, they're, like, already, you know, that their values are, like, we don't care anything about them anymore. They support this family, like, you know,
okay,
like,
I'm not trying to understand the question.
No, like, in the same way, even a person's beautiful, but they have that midos, like, they're not even shy of, like...
Right, so you come at the president?
Here it's a projection, even the goof, when you look at somebody who comes, and the person projects childishness, stupidity, and selfishness. So, you know, so you're not attracted. It's one thing if the person has at least a semblance of a menshecha appearance, but you know, if you ask the references, they say they're not so kind of. But sometimes the person, the whole projection of the person is nothing, you know, like the dumb blonde type of, you know, thing. So at some point, the person, if the more you're sensitive and the worse the person is, there's a interface in there too. So he says, "Atatira ich zanim shachetim agdol shazam." The shaguf nivres the ponim shemas ponim. Vitirak dam gavik smoit. Haloi shemata kvar ki ashleimus hu echad. Keshar moshem amas chasav yisa. And he says the reason why the neshama is not divided is because shleimus doesn't recognize parts. So when a person has a davar shalom, a portrait of a person, either is a portrait or it's not a portrait. The pieces. And being a Kosh Baruch Hu within the, from the Bria itself, from the Tzur of Bria, he's trying to project. Al Kain behest upon him. Our eyes are connected hashkacha. Erdon of the era, the Melchish and the Dynamashin of Royas. Osnayan Lodok, the natural progression of Marshall's will say, the Hazamu Damal Malcha Ein Roy was Jamas. Peba Adam, Kibashem Diva Hazan and Biof, Umashmea Hoy Koyla Malach, the Goy Sivore. The Hain Kokiyates Bizet. So each and every aver in its distinction reflects some sort of midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is being projected to us.
I mean, it's not exactly a question, Rabbi, but it's just, sort of a...
Yeah.
In formulation, but it's such a strange thing that, like, if the goof be'etzem represents Choshech, but yet every bit of the goof is Hashem's Chochmah and the beauty of when you study it, like, it just seems strange that, like, if the whole thing is... You know what I'm saying? That there's...
Right, what a terrible way to teach us about...
Right. But that means then I'm looking at the goof with ruchniistic eyes, because I see just amazing stuff. Every minute of it is beautiful, incredible.
You know, that is what... I spoke about actually about Hesped. So long as we look at it with physical eyes, all we see is a mechanism. How does the hand work? Well, that's biophysics, and it's this, it's that, and kinesiology, and so on. But when you take a bigger look at it, you say it's all pointing at something, it starts becoming the shamadi. It really depends what pair of eyes you're looking at.
So is Rabbi saying that the tzura of the body is on a continuum? And
yes.
That conceptually, it's very positive in that it allows us to gain appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yes.
Right? But when you pull it away all the way down to its lowest form, it becomes like your vehicle to doing what feels good.
Yes. Correct. It depends which eyes do you see it with. It was the same goof. If you look at it with goof eyes, you just see physicality. If you look at it with neshama eyes, then all of a sudden you see, hey, I'm b'dmus elyon.
So essentially what we're saying is it's sort of like a car, you know. The Russia can drive the car to go clubbing, the Tzaddik can go to drive the car to the base measure.
This is more than just what we're doing, it's how we perceive things. It's a big deal. In other words, it's just like, LaMarshall, if I'm walking down a street with a real estate developer, I'm just walking down the street and I see houses. This is Mr. Goldberg. This is Mr. Goldstein. This is wonderful. It's nice. But the real estate developer says, these four houses together, it's got potential. I knock it down. It's on a corner. We can zone it for this. We're going to have this, you know, and he sees it with a different pair of eyes. You know. Fascinating, the symmetry of the body of right and left. What is that all about? The yamin or small that our body is a reflection of a divine yamin and small. We also see the times that we go through, the different kufis that we go through, as being of distinct entities. Each and every day and slice of time is separate from the other slice of time. And that is, the more choshech, I spoke about this in the Hesma, I don't want to repeat myself, but when a person is in darkness, Then everything he feels everything as a separate entity. I can be oymed on every individual piece, but they're always separate. I'm feeling this. It's whereas when I see and it's light, then I see everything with one thing. So the midah of neshama that's tefis everything with one tefisa is ha'ara. The midah of the guf that's treifis every zman and every chelik as being different is different than that. I want to say, we speak about Yiddishkeit and Ruchnis being the delayed gratification. That whole musig means is meaningful in the sense where there's some continuum of now what was, what will be. I look at things as being part of one big thing. So let's say I have a corporation. I don't want to put all the money into the great big bash tonight because I'm going to have to pay salaries next week and do something else. So I look at it in one whole. For the guy who's planning the event, his job is to make the biggest bash and the most exciting one. He wants to plunk down $1 million into the bash. And the guy who's on top says, "Well, you see only the bash. I see salaries, inventory, marketing, and the pesh, and it's a chelik of something." So the tefisa of something being a chelik or something being is a difference between neshama guf, ruchnis and ashmis, this world versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many of the ruchnistic things that we are understand by ruchni have this common denominator. They're looking at everything as one unit. I think about myself, I care about myself, and I'm occupied about myself, and I'm all about myself. A different perspective is to see a Bria in its entirety.
And that's connected to Pesach, the transitioning from darkness to light, like running it up of the
Avdus. There also, Golos means, when they were in Avdus, and Golos meant that every minute was a minute lived for itself. I'm not saving up money for anything. I'm not building generations. I'm not accomplishing. Every minute is survival. All it is this minute. There's no sense, and it says an Eved Ein Lo Chayis, an Eved has no Yichas. That's why the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that takes him out of Golos is Eke, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga of building towards a future. Avadim don't have a future. They don't have a tomorrow. And whereas this has that sense.
Why is it that there's only one mouth and there's
huh?
Why is it that there's two arms, two legs, only one mouth? In other words,
okay, isn't there how much people would talk if they have two? So I'll tell you. Seriously speaking, there are two Averim that there's only one: the mouth and the Aver. What? Yes, and the reason is, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu would say many times. Whenever I need to bring out my entire self to reproduce it, I need to bring it to a certain point, to a certain head. When I speak, I'm taking my different thoughts, ideas, understandings, and packaging it as one entity. In other words, the mouth is my final bottom line. When I think, I have different stuff. When I speak, I'm saying bottom line. It's a maskana speaking. So, and the same thing with children. All my children is my entire self continuum. I can't have two selves. What's interesting is the twos that we have, the ears and the eyes, actually contribute to a three-dimensional understanding. In other words, the two ears gives us stereo, the two eyes gives us depth. It's a certain, you know, for us there's a certain hashlama that comes about when we integrate the two different inputs. When you work with both hands, you can maneuver things much better. You know, you have one hand working opposite the other, and that.
So broadly, chesed din are the critical components to a nuanced way of
exactly. For us, the oneness comes about by having them work in absolute synchronization. Din, yes.
So I understand how the eyes and ears chesed din, when to listen, when to not listen. But how does having physically two ears help that at all? Like, am I supposed to, like, when someone speaking positive from right ear,
it's a physical representation of having two ears. You're right. In the physical level, the right ear and left ear hear the same things. But I mean, as far as we know,
well, not necessarily. For foreigners, if something is closer to the right ear, then
it's true. But the determination that one is yeah, toiv, one is not. That's cool.
Is it maybe the model? And as much as there are differences in how we perceive something with the two different sides, that there's a different approach that we take with the two different sides conceptually. That is,
yeah.
The experience of the two different sides, the toiv, the raj, it's all the same thing, and yet you can look at that same thing in various ways. The fact that our ears can hear one thing on one side and another thing on another side, or Agri, is, you know, just an expression of, it seems, the fact that you can be dealing with the same thing in physical space, and yet there can be very different approaches, perspectives to that same physical thing.
Correct. Okay, let's hold it. I need to move on. I need you for a minute. Are you rushed?
No.